Hello and welcome to this month's coaching call. I am so pumped that you made it. We have some amazing ideas and content to cover in this conversation today. And I'm especially inspired by some of the questions from the forum that pertain less to specific sales techniques and much more to just a strong appreciation for the power of mindset. Because what I find is that so often people come to me because they're interested in the technique and they're interested in the strategies, but what the real takeaways, the real aha moments come are when they suddenly make that connection that's really a mindset change and changes the way they think of themselves, not just as a salesperson, but as a person in general. And so if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, that's fluffy crap, and you know, let's get into the real hard stuff, we are going to definitely be talking a lot about specific techniques and strategies today. But my challenge is going to be that you come in with a really open mind toward the way you look at yourself as a salesperson more broadly, and how you're developing to think bigger, to think stronger. And so let me give you an example. I'm always fascinated by this example of a client company that I worked at, where you had two salespeople. We'll call them just so I don't use their real names. We'll call them Brian and Karen. And so, I've got to remember those names, but Brian and Karen were salespeople at this company that sold promotional products. And some of you may have heard this example that I've shared before because it's just so powerful. And so if you're familiar with promotional products, they sell basically, you know, branded merchandise that could be from t-shirts to mugs to pens, whatever it is. And so what's interesting about this is that it's a perfect control experiment because they're selling literally the exact same stuff. You know, it's like my boss used to say, you know, we're all selling crap and they're selling the exact same crap, right? And so there's no variability in that. And yet, Brian was selling $4 million in product a year and earning about $500,000 a year in income. And Karen, on the other hand, was selling $300,000 in product and making about $35,000 a year. Both had been in the position for the same amount of time. Both had been... you know, they were both pretty hardworking people. I'd say they were probably about a wash on that. Yet, one person was making over 10 times what the other person was making. And so the question is, what is the difference? Now, were there some tactical differences? Sure. But at the very core, the biggest difference was that Brian saw himself as a CEO level person. He saw himself as someone who could sell at the highest levels of an organization. And thus, when he was selling to big companies, I believe like TripAdvisor was one of his clients, when he was selling to folks at TripAdvisor, he wasn't just dealing with some human resources person. He was dealing with the chief marketing officers. He was dealing with the senior VPs. And Karen, on the other hand, was more bottom feeding, selling to, for example, I know she sold a lot into the healthcare space. She'd be selling to the buying department of a hospital or the HR assistant. And that simple mindset shift, in my experience, is everything when it comes to successful sales. So now that we've laid out the importance of mindset, let's get into some of the questions, because I think this one just gets me really excited. So Alex, who has been really vocal in the forum, and by the way, if you have not posted in the forum yet, get in there, get in that forum. We've got I'm checking almost every day. You get direct access to me, and you can ask me any questions about sales, sales challenges, mindset, problems that you're having, anything. So Alex writes, for a long time, I kept focusing on building my skill set and know-how, but something was still missing. And in recent years, I've been increasingly focused on improving my mindset, my quote, inner game. And it's made a very positive difference for me. I'm still on this journey and want to hear from you. How do you go about coming to terms with your head trash and reconcile your negative self-talk voice? My biggest aha moment was when I managed to accept that I'm not defined by my role or my current success levels in my role. That's what I do, and it's up to me to do better, differently or not at all. This sounds basic when I read it just now, but for some reason, it's been anything but obvious to me for a long time. What about you? Any stories and any thoughts? And Alex, I love this story, and I appreciate your sharing that really, powerful insight, because I think it's so true for so many of us, is that we do tend to be defined by our success at work. And we all know people in our lives, and many of us fit into that as well, where the people, for example, that are always busy, they're always working, and all they want to do is prove that they can be successful in work. And what I've discovered is that if you're trying to fill that void through success in work, you're never gonna get that, right? It's literally the carrot, and the horse just chasing the carrot. And they're never going to feel fulfilled. Now, having said that, I do just love this thread, and I found that in my own personal development and sales, and that kind of inner mindset has been just so much more important than specific techniques. So I wanted to share with everyone a couple of key distinctions that I've made over the years, and a lot of this has come from because of my writing with, Inc., Entrepreneur Magazine, The Huffington Post, Forbes, Fast Company, all these really cool publications, and writing books, is I get access to some of the most successful, in particular, business minds in the world. And so I'm always asking people what are the mindsets that drive them. And so the couple that I've really adopted over the years that have just been so tremendously valuable are the following. First is that, particularly when I got started in my sales career, I really would struggle selling very high within an organization. And we've all been there. Have you ever had that opportunity to call on a CEO, and you're just so nervous to call that CEO because it's like, hey, I'm not a CEO, and this person's a CEO. Or I'll never forget early on in my career where I was had a small business, and I was selling to, at the time, I was selling event marketing services, my event marketing services to gas stations and service stations. And at this point, I had just had this transition in selling where I was finally starting to sell more professionally and more the way that I do now. And I had some amazing coaches and mentors who said, look, you got to start selling higher up in organizations. So I got this opportunity where I literally one day walked into a Subway sandwich shop in Worcester, Massachusetts. And so I'm in this Subway sandwich shop, and I noticed that they were just doing a grand opening. And so I went, and the franchisee, the owner, was there of this particular Subway. And I asked him, I said, hey, does Subway do anything to help you, do these grand openings or anything? Because that's kind of what we did, was a lot of grand openings. And he said, no, but it would be really helpful. And so I said, is there anyone at Subway who might be a good person for me to talk to? Because this is what I do. And he got all excited. He's like, oh, yeah, actually, it's funny. He said, one of the Subway bigwigs was in my store just the other day. And he left me, I don't have his card, but I have his name and his cell phone number. And I said, Oh, okay. Here I was. I mean, I was just a kid. And I said, you know, would you be willing to give me his information? And he said, yeah, here. You know, tell him that I talked to you. And so I'm like freaking out because here I have this person who, by the way, I forget his exact title, but it was, so his first name was Dick. And his title, this was so long ago, but his title was something like Senior Vice President of Creative Marketing or something like that. It wasn't like just straight marketing, but it was like experimental marketing for Subway sandwich shops, like corporate, the whole thing. You know, this is a multi-billion dollar company. And I have his cell phone number and his name. And I'm freaking out because here I am, just this kid. And, you know, what kind of business do I have calling on this guy? So I actually sat on the name and number for a couple of days. I was just too nervous to call. And then finally I just said, you know what, screw it. I got to do this. I got to call. And I pick up the phone. And you know when you're so nervous to make a call that you hope that they don't answer? And if you've been in sales long enough, we all know that feeling. And so I call, I dial the number, and I'm hoping that he's not going to answer. But instead, he picks up on the first ring. So it's literally like, ring, ring, hello. And it's just hello. It wasn't this professional, like, this is Dick's office or anything. It was just a guy saying hello. And so I go into my opening play and into my call. And that call turned into, by the way, a one-hour conversation that then turned into a discovery meeting that then turned into an initial sale that then turned into our largest client by far. I mean, Subway, obviously, in terms of size, was one of the largest clients as well, but in terms of largest, in terms of actual revenue for us. And that was actually one of the sales that led to my being able to ultimately sell that business. And I always think back to that moment because, geez, man, there's so many times I could have not made that call. But I did, and as a result, my business and life completely transformed. And so since right around that time, I've always pushed myself to think of myself as a CEO, to think of myself as a peer to any high-level person that I'm ever speaking to. And so, you know, when I'm face-to-face, I don't feel subordinate. I'm not saying, yes, sir, or, oh, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me. None of that crap. I'm thinking to myself, this person is a peer. This is someone who I feel that I am on the same level as. And that took me a long time to really get totally comfortable with. I mean, now when I sit down with CEOs, I feel 100% at ease and at the same level. But for a lot of years, that was a struggle for me. And the success that has come out of that one simple mindset has really, I think, been one of the huge parts of my success in selling is that, you know, when you go back to that example of Brian and Karen, they were selling the same crap. But the difference was that Brian could comfortably sell to high-level buyers. And Karen was just selling to dinky, low-level people. And for so many of us in sales, our comfort zone is in that lower-level space. But, you know, it takes just as much work to get meetings with these low-level buyers as it does to get to these high-level buyers. So really working on that mindset of pushing yourself to think of yourself as that CEO. And if it means that every day you're just reminding yourself that you are the CEO of your own business. And by the way, I don't care if you're a salesperson or you're just getting started in your career. You got to start to think of yourself as high level, as the peer to these high level buyers. Because once you get comfortable there, the world of selling really changes. I mean, it's a different club. It's a different club. And that mindset, that is purely mindset. I mean, it of course takes practice and pushing yourself and stepping out of your comfort zone and calling on those high-level people and just spending time around them and getting meetings with them and the comfort starts to come. It's not just literally sitting around in front of your desk and saying, I'm a CEO. You've got to actually go out and do it and let it drive itself. But really work on that. That's, geez, I mean, if I were to go back in time and talk to the young me who was just getting started in sales, that would be one of the first things that I would share with myself. So that's one. The other really big one for me has been, and it's similar to what Alex said, but it's just so important to me, is that my success in sales is never tied to my self-worth. And I can't tell you how common I see this problem with people. And so you see these, we all know people that are, if not bipolar, are, you know, really, you know, have very highs and very lows. And, you know, in my own personal family, you know, we've had people who have bipolar disorder. And so I think my reaction to that in life has always been to just ride down the middle, is to not, you know, when you have a success, you certainly want to celebrate. But when you have a failure, the converse shouldn't be that you're think of yourself as a loser. To me, my self-worth as a human being comes from the fact that I do what I love to do. I'm a good person. I help people. I'm honest. I care about my family, right? It comes from places of that have really very little, if nothing, to do with my work, and certainly with the success of my work. And I think that's something that we all as salespeople need to get to a place of being at. And if we are only feeling good about ourselves when we close sales, then that means that when we're not closing sales or when we're losing sales, we're feeling bad. And that's an unhealthy place to be. So yes, when you close a sale, you should feel good, you should celebrate, you should be excited. But when you don't close a sale, it shouldn't be, the mindset shouldn't be, oh man, I screwed that one up. Man, what a loser. Because I know so many people who are listening to this call struggle with that. And I did too, to some degree, when I was getting started. It's when we make mistakes in sales, I want you to go screw up. You know, I don't agree with everything the guy says, but I do follow Gary Vaynerchuk. And one thing, I saw a video meme from him the other day, and it was, I didn't even click on it, but I saw it and I thought, yeah, I agree with that. And it was basically, the title of the video was, I want you to fuck up. You know, I want you to fuck up. And I thought, well, that's quite a message. But, you know, it's true. You know, I want everyone on this call to go out and screw up. I want you to make mistakes, because when you're, I want you to push a prospect too far. I want you to learn from those mistakes, because the mistakes are where we're doing our best learning. And I mean, our successes are really reinforcing and rewarding, but the mistakes are where we really learn and grow as salespeople. And so I think when we are tying our self-worth to the success that we have in individual situations in sales, we're in a really dangerous and vulnerable place. And so find that inner self-worth elsewhere. You know, develop the life that you want. Use sales and the wealth that you can create from sales to create the life that you want and be around the people that you want. But don't let your happiness and self-worth be tied to your success at work. Because again, that's literally just the donkey chasing the carrot that they're just never going to eat. I mean, you're just never going to be satisfied. You see this, by the way, at all levels of careers. I know a lot of the CEOs that I've met with and interviewed over the years, they are just as bad at this as anyone else. And so they're always looking for that happiness. And by the way, at the expense of their families, in success. And it's just never, it's never going to create, you know, happiness and self-worth. So I think we just need to take a step back sometimes and also just reframe our failures or our shortcomings and the mistakes that we make as learning opportunities. And because the most successful people are screwing up the most. I mean, that's just a provable fact at this point. I mean, you know, you just think of the scientific method and we all celebrate people like Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison, but those guys were, geez, I mean, the number of experiments that didn't work, I mean, they just loved doing it. And so as a result of loving doing it, they didn't mind the failures. And then occasionally they'd have a success, and that success, of course, would change the world. So enjoy the process of selling, enjoy the learning, enjoy the fact that you are going to make mistakes. I mean, I still make mistakes. You know, I screw up sales every once in a while. And the most important thing is always I walk away with a lesson or a takeaway, and I share with you know, my clients. So I hope that makes sense. And I hope that's usable and actionable. And then just the last one that I wanted to share that's a little more straightforward is that, so we've got, we do have, depending on where you are in your career and in sales, I don't want to suggest that we just change our mindset by sitting in front of a mirror and feeling good about ourselves. We change our mindset by going out and doing things. So it's a bit chicken or the egg, right? So we have to change our mindset in our head, but then we have to go with that new mindset. We have to go and do things. We can't just sit in front of the computer all day and check email. We need to, action creates a reaction. So any action that you take creates a reaction. And that reaction, some of those reactions are going to end well. They're going to positively reinforce this new mindset that inspired that action in the first place. And so it starts to drive itself, where the action actually creates and helps boost and strengthen that confidence and that strong mindset. And so they start to build on one another. I mean, you can't just, if you're broke right now and you're just sitting in front of a mirror and saying, I'm a CEO, I'm confident, I feel good about myself, and you don't do anything, but you just keep saying that, nothing happens. But if you're broke, and for example, and you don't have to be broke, but let's just say you were broke on the extreme example, and you work on changing your mindset and think of yourself differently, and at the same time you start making calls to CEOs, high-level folks, and you're consistently taking action, and then that action creates some success. And then it builds upon itself, and it's almost like a dominoes chain reaction. That is when you start to really see some success, and you start to reinforce that mindset, and it sticks. So it's not just something that's here today and it's gone in a week from now. So we do really need to be taking action. So I challenge you even right now to think about what are two or three actions that you can take, even as a result of what we've just talked about so far on this call. What can you be doing differently right after this call or tomorrow morning to make sure that you are really implementing these ideas and not just thinking about them? Because that's really going to be huge. So I hope that's hopeful, and I challenge you right now, literally just take out a piece of pen and paper or use your phone and just use your notepad on your phone or whatever it is, and just write out, what are three action steps, right? Is it, I'm going to make 10 calls to CEOs this week, right, or whatever it is, you know, and just take action and let the results of that action reinforce the behavior in the first place and the mindset that led to that behavior. And that's when some really magical stuff starts to happen. Lastly, if you do need a kick in the ass, everyone on this program has access to the Monday Morning Motivators. You've probably seen some of those videos already. They come into your inbox every Monday at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And you can also go in that portal, and there's a whole bunch of those videos that are out there. And they're just 1 minute videos that just challenge mindset. And I find that for someone like me, I love self-help, and I love inspirational, motivational ideas. So if you like that as well, get in there and watch some of those videos. I think they're really, really pretty inspiring. I love making them because it just, it like gets me to think about this stuff in a way that's really powerful as well. So those are the ideas about Alex's question. And Alex, thank you so much for sharing. I'm psyched that you shared that. Another one that I want to get to, another question. This one was amazing, and it had a really cool outcome too, which I'll share with you. But the question comes from Sandra. And Sandra is someone who has gone through, Sandra's great. She went through my entire Sales Strategy Academy program, which is my more intensive online sales training program. She went through the whole program. And one thing that I always do in this program is I offer a, for people who actually complete the program, if you bought on the webinar, for a certain number of people, that first people to buy, they get a complimentary free phone call with me. One-on-one coaching call with me where they can ask me any questions. And Sandra was one of the people that actually took me up in that offer. And it's amazing because I've sold thousands of these Sales Strategy Academies, and I've only had a handful of calls, one-on-one calls with people, which continues to blow my mind away because it just goes to show how, you know, I mean, so few people really take action. I mean, and these are people that invested in themselves, and then so few people actually take me up on having a one-on-one call with me where they can ask me any question. So anyway, Sandra went through the course. She had the call with me, and then she's been working like a devil to implement this stuff. And she's also in this mastermind program now. And so Sandra writes, I've been working very hard to implement the tools that I've learned here. And using the disqualification questions, and I feel that I do stand out to prospects that speak to me versus other salespeople in my field of franchise sales. She, by the way, sells franchises for a franchise company. In fact, I've been told as much. Last week, she writes, a very qualified prospect told me that he was not going to move forward and purchase a franchise because honestly, he was just scared of failure. I was honored that he trusted me enough to be so honest, but I'm also not exactly sure if I handled the situation correctly. So I love this question because, I asked for a little more clarification, and then let me just finish the rest of the question. She writes, I asked him what he was scared of when he told me that he was scared, of which he said he was scared of not making enough money for his family to survive if he's not successful owning this franchise. I asked what would have to happen for him to not be scared. And I was honest that there are no guarantees and that there would never be a perfect time, and that mindset was very important. And if he truly felt that he would fail, then he probably would. I also told him the same is true of his current job, as well as a few things that he had going for him that made our industry a good fit for him on some levels. But understood that this was a very personal decision and respected this, but would keep in touch and reach out in a few weeks. So basically what happened was she sells franchise sales. And so this guy who is an employee at a company wants to start a business. And so he comes to this franchise and he ends up talking to Sandra about possibly buying a franchise through Sandra's company. And so this is like, for him, this is like a really life-changing decision. And I love what she sells because it's so perfect for my system, because it's really about, it's not about the business. It's about like, what are you looking to accomplish in life? You know, so it's so powerful. And so Sandra's been really working on this and using my approach and really implementing it. And so what happened, though, is that this guy basically wimped out in the end. And he was like, oh, I'm afraid, and I think I'm going to fail. And And so what Sandra did, and I don't blame her because, you know, she's just getting comfortable with this, is she played the more armchair therapist. And so she said, you know, well, you know, tell me, you know, and, you know, you could fail at your current job. And but it was to me, her response struck me as a little bit softer and gentler than what I wanted. Because here's the thing, and this is the takeaway for all of us, is that we all need to have the mindset that when we close a sale, that we are positively impacting that person's life. If you feel right now that when you make a sale, you're screwing someone over, unless you're just a crappy human being, you are never going to be successful. You need to truly believe that what you sell is going to positively impact these people's lives. And I know for a fact from my conversations with Sandra that she believes that. And so if she believes that, then when you have someone who is otherwise completely qualified, but in the end they're just like, oh yeah, I'm scared, you know, I don't know. That's the time when we don't just say, oh yeah, no, I totally get it. That's the time when we say we have to hold their feet to the fire. And so, you know, whereas Sandra let him off the hook and ultimately let him get away, which, by the way, I think is to the complete detriment of this man's life, right? I mean, he wants to start a business. His dream is to start a business. And he's just too much of a friggin' wimp to pull the trigger. And so this is a moment where you almost want to think of yourself as a coach, where you're like, no. No, that doesn't make sense. Now, that's not what you say, because that will come off as salesy. You don't want to be salesy and be like, oh no, but you need to do this because this is going to change your life, right? That's just hard, you know, high pressure sales junk. Instead, what I want you to think is, so let's just say the guy's name is Bob. And so here's the role play that I want you to think about moving forward. You know, Bob says, oh, I'm scared that I'm going to fail, blah, blah, blah. And I want Sandra to say next time to say, you know what, Bob, I really appreciate that. You know, but you told me earlier that you were committed to taking action and starting a business. I mean, let me ask you, which is a bigger driver for you, creating that better life or failing? And just let them respond. Find out what they think. You know, that's a tough question to ask. And I know that there are people on this call that's thinking, whoa, that's pretty confrontational. Yeah, it's confrontational because you're about to lose a sale anyways. You have nothing to lose at this point. This guy's just told you that he doesn't have the guts to do it. So you literally have nothing to lose. And so this is where I take the gloves off. And this is when I'm tough. Right? Or another way to do it. And he says, oh, I'm scared to fail, blah, blah, blah. And then I say, look, Bob, I completely understand. But let me ask you a question. Let's just say that you don't take action and you just stay on this current path. What does life look like 5 years from now after not taking action? Boom, right? I mean, I want you to come in there with a left hook that he just didn't see coming. And this is not because it's about closing the sale. Although, of course, you know, we want to close sales. When we have someone who's qualified, who has the money, who has, you know, has the right level of challenges and hurt, we want to close those sales for ourselves, but we also want to close those sales because this guy needs this. This guy needs this. And so, again, it's not about coming back with some salesy, like, oh, you need this, and I'm going to make sure that you buy this, right? That's terrible. It makes me just want to gag. But instead, asking questions that are going to challenge them. You know, Bob, you told me how important this was to you. What happened? I mean, is this suddenly not important? I mean, you know, is failure going to be the leading driver of your life? I mean, that's where I want us at the end. If someone's pushing back in ways like that, we gotta be tough. And so, by the way, the story has a little bit of an end, which I think is really cool. So Sandra was like, this is amazing. Thank you so much. This really, you know, I totally understand. And then she's like, well, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to call him back. I'm going to reach back out to him because I got nothing to lose and get on the phone with him and hold his feet to the fire and see if I can make something happen. And so so she said that. And then a day later, she writes, it went really well. And he's engaged again and they're moving forward. So I love that because, I mean, this is what's so cool about this mastermind program is that, I mean, this is like she is going to get a sale, I believe, because she was in this program and because she did something different and she held her own feet to the fire as well. I mean, it takes guts to pick up the phone a second time after you've screwed up an opportunity and get someone back on the phone and you know, selling. He's trying to basically say, hey, you know, Bob, I feel like we didn't really finish that conversation off on the right foot. And then just going back into and asking some powerful questions that leads to something special. So awesome job, Sandra. And I'm so psyched that that you something great came of that. But I think we can all take away something from that same concept, which is, you know, I would argue that the biggest contribution that I've made to the broader sales conversation is this idea of disqualification. And if you're not familiar with disqualification, go into the Quick Training Library and just in this program and search for some videos on disqualifying or just asking questions, and you'll get a sense of what my disqualification process looks like. Because disqualification is basically this mindset that rather than the salesy, cheesy salesperson, old school salesperson mindset that's like, I'm going to try to persuade this person to do business with me and or everyone to do business with me, and I'm going to try to close every single sale. Instead, it's like, hey, there's only certain people that are the right fit, and I want to determine who's the right fit, and those are the people that I'm going to sell. And everyone else, I'm going to get the hell out of my life. And it's a really powerful mindset. But I also think that sometimes people think that the disqualification mindset means like I'm quick to give up on an opportunity. And that's absolutely not the case. When you have someone who you have determined through this disqualification process that they're qualified, I want you to hang in there. I want you, this is now like you got nothing to lose, right? I mean, the worst thing that happens is it doesn't work out. The best thing that happens is you sell a really big sale. And so don't think that this just means, oh, I'm just going to walk away from an opportunity because they weren't perfect. No, I mean, no opportunity is perfect. But if they're qualified, now we got to hang in there. We got to fight. We got to make that sale. So I love her, what Sandra did. And for the rest of us, you know, when we close a sale, we are positively impacting other people's lives. And if that is your mindset, then you are going to be successful as long as you're using the right sales process. And if you're here, hopefully you're going to start using that right sales process if you're not using it right now. So in closing this call today, I want to challenge you to think about what are one or two, maybe three takeaways that you've had that you can go and implement right away into your selling. What are three ideas that you can maybe it wasn't from exactly what I said, but maybe it just sparked like, oh, wow, yeah, you know what, I gotta do that that I've been putting off for a while. What are those three ideas that you can go and implement? Albert Einstein, one of my favorite quotes, nothing happens until something moves. What are you going to make move? Make something move. What are those one, two, maybe three key takeaways that you're going to implement as a result of this conversation today? Get out there. Make things happen. Do something. I mean, this program, the reason I created the Sales Transformation Mastermind was for exactly this reason, to create a community of people who are taking action. This program is less about direct content. I mean, there is obviously a lot of content in that Quick Training Library, but I mean, if you just want content, then the Sales Strategy Academy is like the, it's like the 8-week intensive sales training program. This mastermind program is much more about just implementing and taking action and thinking about your mindset and all of that. If you do that, you're going to be massively successful. So thank you for being on this call. I love that you're in this program. It gets me so excited. I want to hear your success stories. If you have any questions or any successes or anything, get into the forum and get active. Ask a question. I'm telling you, it's so insane. You get direct access to me, and I'll answer any question. And let's make something happen. So have an amazing month. Go make things happen, and we'll talk to you next month.